I remember more than one time someone speaking to me, teaching me in a song service. Remember there was one time I was so confused. I was wondering why I was having to go through something I was having to go through. And I never will forget that somebody requested, God moves in a mysterious way His wonders to perform. And I tell you what, it was a blessing to me that day. And I don't believe it would have been and had the same power had it just been one person standing up picking all of the hymn numbers themselves. I like being able to teach one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, that the congregation is involved, that they are a part of the organic being of that worship that day. And that's a blessing. Good needful preaching, brother. Appreciate that. Go with me, if you will, to the book of... just to read a couple of verses over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 is such an important proclamation about the power and the utility of the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are the church of Jesus Christ. We sang that hymn this morning, religion is the chief concern. And what do we exist here for? What is the church? It's the pillar and ground of the truth. And what import does that truth have? Many people, bless their heart, they want to apply the power of the truth and the power of the gospel, ascribe it, that power, to something that it does not do. My friends, the Lord is that power that saves His people. Fear not, little flock. He is the great shepherd. He is the one who's died for our sins. But that does not mean that the gospel does not carry power. It does not mean that we are not in the saving business in the church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, he said, verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. He said, you were busy working, you were busy laboring, you were busy worshiping, because you had been empowered by something. You had a knowledge just like I did. My friends, in the church of Jesus Christ, we are to know some things. The gospel imparts to us knowledge. And it gives us assurance, as He just told us. Knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. I like to know that I'm among the elect family of God. I like to be able to walk in that knowledge, to go to bed in that knowledge, to arise in that knowledge, to work in that knowledge, to raise my family in that knowledge. Because, my friends, there are so many distractions and so many depressions and despairs out there in this world that want to tear you down. The devil, people laugh at the concept of him. The devil is very real. Satan is very real and he is very active. And I see him abounding around us, unfortunately, way too successfully each and every day. But the God of glory has saved His people and given them a power, my friends, that is for them and them alone. And it's the gospel of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Under the sound of that gospel, He gives us Holy Ghost manifestation. Under the sound of that gospel, He gives us necessary instruction and He gives us assurance. Now, I want to talk about that today, assurance. Because you can't talk much about the gospel of Jesus Christ as it touches the lives of God's children without discussing assurance. What is assurance? Assurance is an emboldening. It's a knowledge that shows you and assures you of what the Lord has done for you. And that's what he said the gospel did here. Again, the gospel does not apply eternal life. Romans chapter 1 verse 16, the apostle Paul preached to the church at Rome. In that writing, he told them very plainly, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So he says, what does the gospel do? It saves those that are believers of it. And my friends, we believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. What does it show unto us? He said, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. My friends, whether the righteousness of God is ever revealed to you, it still does not inhibit the righteousness of God applied unto you. Okay? Now, in Galatians chapter 1, we quoted last night and told you that when the Lord quickened the apostle Paul, my friends, he said the Son of God was revealed in him. My friends, and when that is taking place, and it was then and only then that that gospel knowledge that he'd been fighting against, that he had in his head, oh, it finally flowed down into his heart and struck him And my friends, what a woeful 3 days that must have been in blindness, understanding finally in a heart-livened state what he had done against the God that he claimed to have been serving all of these years. You see, there's power in the gospel. And we want to talk about that full assurance. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 10 just for a moment. And we're going to talk about assurance very briefly today. Many of you have been very kind. Come to me after that woeful, I'm sorry. The old preacher said, let me tell you something, son. I know what good preaching is, and that warn't it. I wanted to preach very well last night, but hopefully it was a sound lesson, if nothing else. But, you know, it may just be a sound lesson again today. But maybe the Lord will see fit to bless it and turn it into preaching. And so we'll pray for that to that end as we have been. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now the world would take that verse and they would say, well, there you go. That's the Roman road to salvation. There you go. That is the way that you gain eternal life for yourself. That you have to have faith in the Lord. Well, my friends, I'm confused because the Bible tells me that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. My friends, faith is that reveals what already exists for you. Okay? So, my friends, we know that all men have not faith. And we know that faith is the fruit of the Spirit. And we know that faith is a gift of God. So, my friends, when you come to a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that means a trust. When you come to the point of realizing that you need one to trust in because you've been made to feel your sinful state, someone will say, well, there you go. Now, finally, you're a child of God. No, my friends, now, finally, you come to realize you're a child of God. Amen. And there's a big difference there. Because notice what he said. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. But notice that's not the only verse in that context. Back up just a little bit. Notice here he's going to tell you about some things that have been done and things that you possess if you're able to draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Notice there he says, this is the covenant, verse 16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Now notice what he says. Having, therefore, okay? Before you get down to verse 22, he's claiming that there's something you already have. He said, having, therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. He said, you already have the blood of Jesus, which is entered into the very veil before God the Father, and your sins have been atoned for. Verse 20, he said, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. In the Old Testament, all those animals died and died and died, and according to the Word of God, not one of them put away one sin. They were just a remembrance of sin. I don't read where one of those animals ever came back to life. But my friends, we have a new and living way, and his name is Jesus Christ. He is the fulfillment of all those sacrifices. He is the fulfillment of that high priest office. He is the fulfillment of everything we see in that tabernacle and in that temple. My friends, he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the great I Am. I'll tell you, my friends, I'm so thankful he's the author and the finisher of my faith. He is my high priest, and he has entered into the holiest of holies by a new and living way. Oh, yes, that high priest would go in and would sprinkle the blood of that goat when he entered into the holiest of holies. But, my friends, I'll tell you, the blood that is entered in for us, my friends, is from one who died, but he didn't stay dead. Brothers and sisters, he was alive, and he is yet alive, seated at the right hand of the majesty on high, and he is my high priest after the order of Melchizedek, Jesus Christ. He is the new and living way. He not only died for us, I thank God, he lives for us. He said, that's what you already have. And then verse 21, he says, and having an high priest over the house of God. My friends, how do we know our high priest was successful? In the Old Testament law of worship, you knew the high priest was successful in that one day of atonement when he came forth alive. Because if he had entered in unworthily, my friends, he would have been stricken by the Lord. But brothers and sisters, we know our high priest is worthy. Why? Because he came forth from the sacrifice alive, having been resurrected, my friends, declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. We have a great high priest, the only high priest that counts, and he is the one after the order of Melchizedek. So notice, he said, before you get to this point, notice all these wonderful things that you already have, children. You have everything that is necessary. And then he says, draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. You know, over in Colossians and in other places, it talks about how the in Jesus Christ dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I'm satisfied with that. Are y'all? When you talk about something to the fullness, I like that. I like that a lot. Those little pies down there, those little strawberry pies. Y'all some confectioners around here in Fort Wayne. I'm going to tell you what. And that little pie was full of strawberries. Just, I like my strawberry pie with the fullness. You know, I've gone to Shoney's a few times. They didn't have it to the fullness. It was a lot of jelly. Yeah. Those pies were to the fullness. I like the fullness. And my friends, when the Bible tells me that in Jesus Christ dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, that you have all-powerful God the Father, all-powerful Jesus Christ, and all-powerful Holy Spirit, that you could see in Jesus Christ, and all three of those never having been able to fail, never will fail, and you see that His sacrifice as our high priest, He didn't fail. And we have a full assurance by faith. What does that mean? Some people come to faith and they say, well, if you don't stay in that faith, then you're going to go to hell. My friends, let me tell you something. If you don't stay in that faith, you do lose something. You lose the assurance that goes with that faith. But brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. Whether you lose the assurance of something or not does not shake the foundation of what that stands upon. The assurance of something, and that's the problem with religion today. Many people and many brethren that have adopted some more reformed Calvinistic views among the primitive Baptists, they don't want to make a distinction between the fact of salvation and the assurance of that salvation. But my friends, the fact of salvation rests upon the bedrock of Jesus Christ, the rock of ages, that cannot be shaken. Amen. Don't tell me your faith can't be shaken. Don't tell me you don't have doubts and fears. Don't tell me it's not that which vacillates, high today and low at sometimes. Brothers and sisters, we'd read over to 2 Timothy chapter 2 where Hymenaeus and Philetus had overturned the faith of some. It didn't say they didn't have faith, but my friends, it had been rendered useless. Why? Because it was an overturned vessel. He said they had overturned the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. I love to rejoice in the finished work of Jesus Christ, but I love to rejoice in the fact that I'm walking in it and believing in it and trusting in it. Oh, brothers and sisters, that Philippian jailer sprang into that jail that night. He went directly to Paul and Silas. Why? Because I think he heard them singing as the prisoners did as he was going to bed, wondering how in the world do these men have such power and strength to sing after they've been scourged so savagely, after I have cast them in bonds and threw them into the innermost part of the prison? How is it that they're able to sing? And I believe he heard it, because when he sprang in with the light, all of the cells were open, all of the prisoners were freed. But he went directly to Paul and Silas and fell down before them. He had to have known this is the God they were worshiping. He wanted that power. Why? Because he was dwelling in fear. My friends, let me tell you something. God's people, void of gospel knowledge, they strive to serve, and sometimes they serve the wrong entity. He was serving the Roman Empire. He was trying to serve it with fervor, and he was serving in fear, not out of love. He was serving in fear because he knew that his family could be destroyed if any of those prisoners got loose. He would lose his life. Possibly his family would lose their life. He was dwelling among a hedonistic society that would take the women and would make them temple prostitutes. This man lived in fear all of the time. But I'm going to tell you what, his fear was greatly conquered that day. Why? Because he came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He believed in the Lord. And he was baptized in all his house. Power in that, and dwelling in that full assurance. He was throwing them in the prison earlier in the night, and he was cleaning their wounds at the end of the night. Oh, the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can tell you what, there they are in the middle of the night. And you know what? When he came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, his assurance was so full, you know what he did? He went out in the middle of the night and got baptized. How many times have you ever seen that happen? Because, my friends, it said when the day came, that was later, when they were back in the house, they'd spent all night hard shelling, my friends. They were all night visiting together, talking about the Lord. In the middle of the night, when he came to faith, he said, you know what? I know about baptism now. Let's go. Let's do it. I would tell you, if you haven't been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ today, my God, what's keeping you? What's stopping you? Dwell in the full assurance of faith, my friends. If you believe in the finished work of Jesus, live in it. Walk in it. Absorb the power of it and use it in your life with a full assurance of faith. With a heart that you realize has been sprinkled by the grace and the mercy of the Lord. And your body is now worthy to serve, trusting and believing in the only priest that matters. Oh, my friends, let us draw near. And I like he said, full assurance. You know, if you have faith in Jesus Christ, you don't have to kill a turtle dove. If you have faith in Jesus Christ, you don't have to reach on, pray through, tithe to a certain extent, pray for holy water to be sent to you for three easy payments of $19.95. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, my friends, heaven will be your home. Because of the finished work of Jesus, and He has seen fit to reveal that unto us. And the righteousness of God has now been revealed unto you. Unto me? Yes, unto me. I don't know when I was born again. I know when I really started coming under conviction. And I still wanted to have one foot in the world. And I wanted to have one foot in the church. I rejoiced when I went to church. But yet I still felt pulled and compelled to go with my friends to the houses of ill repute. And to the bar rooms. And to do those things that were not worthy and were unwholesome, my friends. But I can tell you what, the Lord blessed me. He didn't allow me. I don't know why. I guess I was a chosen vessel to some extent to share His Word. But I could have easily descended into a judicial blindness that the Lord placed upon me for tempting Him. And I'm going to tell you what, my friends, when the Lord has given you light, you act upon that light. Don't you tempt the Lord. Don't you thumb your nose at Him. I can tell you what, our God's long-suffering, but He will not be mocked. And I tell you, if you believe in Him today, then you confess Him before men. You take up your cross in baptism and you follow Him. My friends, I know I came under conviction. But I rejoice when I came to that notion of a full assurance of faith. I've been hearing Elder Melvin Myers, Elder Randy Myers, Elder Cecil Easterlin, Elder Wayne Myers. All those men preach all that time, and all I wanted them to do was shut up so I could get to the macaroni and cheese. That's all I wanted. Yes, that's all fine, whatever. All that time, it was like Charlie Brown's teacher. But when I finally came to myself, when I finally, being down in that hog pen, tired of the shucks, tired of being in rebellion, tired of my heart being sick, I came to realize, you know what? What my friends expect of me means nothing. What my Lord demands of me means everything. And that's when I started realizing what a full assurance of faith meant. Realizing that I had been saved to the uttermost by Him through His grace and His mercy. And then realizing if anyone did that for me, I want to serve Him in love. I want to back my ear up against the door. I want them to drive that all through my ear. I want to serve Him because I love my Master. Amen. See, my friends, that's a full assurance of faith. Somebody may say, well, I felt that in my life. But you know what? When we come to a full assurance of faith, you don't just go right to heaven, do you? When I came under that strong conviction, I was just ready to be Enoch, Elijah. I mean, I wanted the fiery chariot. I was ready to go be with the Lord right now. And how many of you would not like for me to shut up and all of us go to glory right now? Old preacher, they say old preacher was preaching one time and he said, who's ready to go to heaven? Raise your hand. Everybody raise their hand but one brother. After it was over with, he said, brother, you didn't raise your hand about you ready to go to heaven. He said, oh, I thought you were making up a group right now. He said, yeah, I wasn't ready right now. Sometimes we're kind of like that. We ain't ready right now. But I'm going to tell you what, my friends, I stand ready for the second coming of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because He has made me ready. And as was preached yesterday, I want to be found ready. I don't even want there to be a half of a sick moment of me realizing that I'm lusting after another woman when my Lord breaks those skies. I don't want there to be even a glimpse of a moment where I'm sitting there cussing under my breath my coworker who's been nasty to me when the Lord lifts the roof off of Baptist Hospital and we see Him descending from the heavens. No, my friends, I want to be found serving Him because it means something. It's a full assurance of faith. But you know what? We're still here on this earth. So what else has He given us? Go with me to Colossians chapter 2. Well, you've come to a full assurance of faith. That's wonderful. But you're not in heaven yet. He talks about some more full assurance. Our God is such a ready provider for His children. We go to Colossians chapter 2. Verse 1. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. I love that. Why do you go to church? Some people may say, well, it's just a building and a bunch of people come together and they sit down. No, it ain't. The building's just where it happens to take place. The people are the ones that just happen to carry around the true gift of God. But when those gifts all come together as one full member of the worshiping body, as the Lord is your head, my friends, there's something special that happens to the hearts. The Lord's promised it. And He dwells within us and He strikes us and He encourages us and He edifies us, our hearts being knit together in love. That's right, brother. He said, and unto all riches, notice that, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. One of my hobby horses, and I'm sorry, we've all got hobby horses, don't we? I think this is a good hobby horse, though. Because we have people being corrupted in this day and age to think that Christianity is nothing more than luck-based, service-rendered reward system. That if you serve the Lord faithful enough, truly you can count yourself in the favor of the Lord. And you'll have a Mercedes-Benz. And you'll have a full checking account. And all you have to do is pray this prayer and sprinkle this water and you'll find $10,000 just mysteriously arriving in your bank account. Brothers and sisters, some of the most faithful people I've ever known in this world in my life, and I've been blessed to know some faithful ones, they didn't live in hardly anything more than a corn crib. Sister Sarah Jackson served the Lord all of her life. Shall I tell you, she would give, if she was able to give $5, that was way more than just the mics for her. She was poor. She was way past poor. She was poor. I'm telling you, she lived in a house that wound up being condemned because it was leaning over, it was about to fall on her. But every time you saw her, she was smiling from ear to ear because she was able to worship the Lord. Amen. She was the richest woman I've ever known and didn't have two pennies to rub together. I'm going to tell you what, my friends, true riches, I can tell you when Moses came to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Oh, he chose rather to suffer the sufferings of the people of God, rather to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the riches of Christ. He was the reproach of Christ as greater treasures than in Egypt. You see, people want you to believe, well, you're only living a full Christian life if you've got a full bank account and you're fully getting financially blessed. That is nothing but heresy. That is heresy and it should be rejected. Our Lord and Savior had not a home. The foxes had holes. The birds of the air had nests. Our Father had not a place to lay His head. But I'm going to tell you what. Nobody was more wealthy than Him. And I want to be conformed to His image. And that means if I have to live in poverty, if I have to eat shucks, not because of my own rebellion, but because of the best I have, I want to be thankful for it and look for that day when I'll be able to be with Him in fullness of glory. Amen. He said, here you have a full assurance of understanding. And it is treasures and it is riches. What does that mean, a full assurance of understanding? When you come to that full assurance of faith and you bless and you come and you enter into the church, say even before you enter into the church, you don't have to be in a member of the church to have a full assurance of faith. It does help with a fuller assurance of faith, I think. But brothers and sisters, we need to understand some things, don't we? We need to understand that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Because there are some out there saying, well, this world's just going to get better and better and better. And then when it's good enough, Jesus is going to come back. How's that working out for you? No. A full assurance of understanding will give you greater assurance. Why? Because when you see the Bible is right and you believe it, My friends, your confidence in Him and salvation He's given you will not be toppled. Brothers and sisters, when you do things the Bible way, this world thinks doing things the Bible way is some kind of dark ages way. Women reverencing their husbands and husbands deferring unto the wives and honoring her as a weaker vessel. Seriously? Yes, seriously. It's a full assurance of understanding. Because my friends, when you try it, and you decide to live that way. My wife and I used to live the way the world would have us to live. And finally we came to talk about it. I remember we sat down and said, look, we've been doing this thing the wrong way. If we're disciples of Christ, we ought to do it the Christian way. And you know what? It's just gotten better and better ever since. I'm not saying she hadn't wanted to scald me with a pot of grits a few times, but she hasn't done it. Amen! Amen! Because our marriage has just gotten better and better and better. And the world says, your marriage is so archaic. Our marriage is so happy. If you want to equate archaic with happy, full of understanding, according to the Word of God, praise God. And we're working on it, getting better and better all the time. You know, if you believe the Word of God, it's going to tell you that not everybody out there has faith. In fact, the world's going to tell you there can come a point where you're casting your pearls before swine. The Christian world out there would have you realize that you have the power of the Word of God, that you can go out and change one from dead in sin to life in Christ. You know what that'll lead you to? Despair.
That's right.
Despair. Because, my friends, I don't know if y'all have noticed or not, but there's a lot of people out there that don't want Jesus. They don't want Him. They don't want anything to do with Him.
That's right.
But I can tell you what, you cast those seeds. Amen. You keep on keeping on, but with understanding, realizing that not everyone will have it. But my friends, if the Lord has touched a heart out there, that little person may be hungering and thirsting after what you've got and what you take for granted every day. You know, a full assurance of understanding will let you know some about history. You go back to Daniel chapter 2. He said, in the days of these kings, he said, the Lord will set up a kingdom and it shall never be destroyed. He said, it shall not be left to other men. In fact, it will break apart and consume all of those empires, those kingdoms that were spoken of in the context. People wonder why there's never been another worldwide empire since the Roman Empire. Why? Because the Word of God told you it was of the Lord. You see, it'll help you understand history. It'll help you understand the end of time. Everybody out there is wanting to convince you that, you know, you shouldn't really look for the power of Christ while you live here. You got to wait for 1,000 years in the future somewhere. Brothers and sisters, they have taken a small portion of a chapter in the book of Revelation and built an entire end times religion on it. I'm here to tell you, I'll believe what the Lord Jesus Christ said. He said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which. Notice He said, the hour is coming in the which means it's going to be less than an hour. The hour is coming in the which, that all that are in the grave shall come forward. Not two different resurrection events. He said they're all going to come forward. They that have done good unto everlasting life. They that have done evil unto damnation. I'll tell you, I'll take the Lord's word for it. And brothers and sisters, it'll save you from false religion. A full assurance of understanding will reveal everything that's going on around you the more you dig into this word. Dig into it, my friends. It is worthy. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And I can tell you what, it's a full assurance of understanding. But my friends, as you live in that Word, we don't want to live forever, do we? Even the full assurance of understanding we have, we've got a full assurance of faith, praise the Lord. And our understanding, we believe, just gets fuller and fuller all the time. And it enriches our life. It strengthens us. It gives us the power to do what we're told in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that in the Lord your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You see, it gives us that power. My friends, I don't know about y'all, but I don't want to live here forever. How about y'all? Farewell, vain world. I'm going home. My Savior bids me come. I'm thankful that I'm not born into this world to live forever. And there's something else that you gain. I want to talk about another one. I want to open the song book because some people are not good at quoting scripture and I'm not real good at it. But I can tell you what, I'm not real good at quoting songs without singing them. And while I guess I could sing it right now, but I'm going to read it from the hymn that we sang earlier, Religion is the Chief Concern. Notice this word. Religion is the chief concern of mortals here below. May I its great importance learn, its sovereign virtue know. Religion should our thoughts engage amidst our youthful bloom. You see, that's a full assurance of understanding. Serve now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Religion should our thoughts engage amidst our youthful bloom. 'Twill fit us for declining age and for the awful tomb. How? Notice the last verse. Let lively hope my soul inspire. Let warm affection rise. And may I wait with strong desire to mount above the skies. It's been a joy for me to be around Brother Paul Troutner yesterday. Paul, love you. So glad to be with you. And I don't know how old you are, and I ain't going to get up in your business. But according to the manner of nature, I think you're older than me. Does the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ and His second coming give you strength every day? You know, Brother Paul may wind up pushing me to the window next week. I could fall with a stroke. I could die with a heart attack right now. Somebody called me, "Oh, you young preachers," the other day. Y'all don't know what young preachers are, apparently. I'm 47 years old. I could die any moment. I'm not trying to be funny or macabre. I'm just trying to be factual. Life, what an empty vapor 'tis. Time, what an empty vapor 'tis. You know, brothers and sisters, but what can give us, we have full assurance of faith, we have full assurance of knowledge. I'm thankful He's also, go with me to Hebrews chapter 6, He's also given us a full assurance of hope. There's an end game, my friends. There's an end game. And I'm thankful for that. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 9, "But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation." I call that temporal salvation, time salvation. It's things that accompany salvation. And you know the things that accompany salvation? You know what I call them? Salvation. You know what the Bible called them? Salvation. You know, when we tell somebody believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, we don't have to stop right then and give them a primer on the distinction between eternal salvation and temporal salvation. My friends, if the Lord's touched their hearts, I believe they'll want to be saved by the truth. You can work out all the distinctions later, but just believe, repent, believe in the Lord, and there's salvation in it. Amen? He said, "God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward His name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." When I read that, I think He's saying you need to be diligent in your hope. How are you diligent in your hope? Well, brothers and sisters, for one thing, our hope so oftentimes in the Word of God, I know hope is a great anticipation of something good, right? In the book of Romans, we're told, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." In believing, trusting, our hope increases day by day. We have hope that Fort Wayne Church will see increase. I have hope that Sulphur Springs Church will see increase. But what is that hope based upon? Is it just a wish? No, my friends, it's a knowledge that has a basis. And we see it so oftentimes in the Word of God, your hope is inextricable from the belief of the resurrection and the second coming of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 8, He spoke of hope. He says, he went on to say, talked about the adoption of our bodies, to wit, the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies, talking about the second coming and the resurrection. He said, "For we are saved by hope." Oh, my friends, we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, what doth he hope for? You see, somebody may criticize you for having hope in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ because you can't measure it, you can't diagram it, and you can't explain it scientifically. Well, there are a lot of things they can't explain scientifically. Love cannot be explained scientifically, my friends. Despair cannot be explained scientifically. There are a lot of things. Even math cannot be explained scientifically. You just accept it as an established fact, right? In fact, we defend science with math, but you can't use science to prove math. You see, there are many things in this life you just accept because it's a reality to you. And my friends, I'm here to tell you the second coming of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it is a reality, and you'll be saved through that hope. Stop, again, start turning off the television and stop worshiping all the idols that we tend to bow down before. Somebody says, I don't have any idol I bow down before. Oh, you don't walk around like this? Walking into water fountains, walking into stop signs. You know what? You're just bowing. You got your own God. We're bow before. Don't tell me we don't worship idols. You know that full assurance of understanding? Why is it sodomy is running rampant in our country today? Go to Romans chapter 1. It'll give you a fuller understanding. It'll give you a full assurance of understanding. It shows you that the Lord is not taken by surprise. This isn't accidentally happening. That proliferation of sodomy is a judgment on this country. It's a judgment on this country. And it's going to keep getting worse as long as we're idolaters and we reject the truth of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a judgment. But I'm going to tell you something, my friends. I want to look at that full assurance of hope. Though I can't see it, though I can't quantify it, I can believe in it. Amen? We're saved by hope. In 1 Peter chapter 1, he said, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he talks about which hath given us a... Oh, I'm just tripping all over it there. Let me go over... That's right, which hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. See, begotten again to a lively hope through what? The thought of Him overcoming death and Him coming back for us. In John chapter 14, He said, Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. For in My Father's house are many mansions. Brothers and sisters, He said, If I go and prepare a place for you, I will return again, that where I am, there you may be also. Do y'all believe that today, church? Do you believe He's coming back? Do you believe in His second coming? Do you believe what He said over in Titus, when He said, For the grace of God that bringeth salvation appeareth unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope of the glorious appearing of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we're looking for that. It gives you hope. Time after time. They wrote to the church at Thessalonica that you would sorrow not as others which have no hope. But we believe, my friends, Jesus Christ is coming down again. The problem with this world and God's children in this world is they get too entrenched in this world. They're like Peter, warming themselves by the fire of the world, by the Savior is apart. My friends, we all have that problem, don't we? That means we need to fight it. It means we need to fight it. We need to be diligent in our hope. We need to believe it, trust in it, study in it. And the more we do, the more fuller our assurance gets. I love a full assurance. Elder David Guthrie down in Alabama, I've heard him say before, several times, I love it. He says, I'm here to tell you I'm just as churchy as Noah was arky. I love that. I love it. You ought to be just as churchy as Noah was arky. And I'm not talking about the idea of cliques and clubs. That's not a church. I'm talking about where your hearts are knit together in love. Where you're in full assurance of faith. And you're getting a fuller assurance of understanding. And you're dwelling, encouraging one another in a full assurance of hope. Looking for the second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Who could be here any moment. Isn't that exciting today? It could be right now. I thank y'all. I love you so much. Thank you.